This is MTN, the Michigan Talk Network, the fearless pursuit of truth. More talk now.
Welcome back to it. Good to have you here. It's a Thursday. In this day and age, it's hard for me to believe that we actually, in America, have to go out and say we believe in free speech. We actually have to go out and defend free speech. It's incredible, isn't it? But that's what Donald Trump had to do as president, ordered an executive order to promote free speech on college campuses and said, if you don't do these things, you get an awful lot of free money from Washington. Federal funding goes to all of these colleges after it's extorted from the taxpayers. We want to take it somewhere else. Well, so it is. But if you continue to behave in such a way as to deny freedom of speech to anybody just because they're conservative or right of center or believe in crazy ideas like children shouldn't be dismembered at 35 weeks in the womb or something like that, then we're going to cut off the funding. So they have to pay attention to what's happening. But here we are with Nikki Neely, president of Speech First here today. Nikki, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
It's shocking to me. You and I have talked about this. Shocking that in this day and age that we have to talk about defending the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which is the rock star. It's what people around the world envy us for, is the ability to have a freedom of the press, a freedom of speech, the ability to practice the religion that we see fit. And yet it's under attack every day.
I know. I'm old enough to remember when it was the one amendment that everybody liked. I mean, it feels like those days are gone, which is so sad.
Yeah, when did the Democrats stop being the party of free speech and free expression?
I don't know. I mean, I think there was kind of a choice made in like the late 80s, early 90s to go with political correctness over free speech, right? And then we started putting feelings over everything else, and everything just went downhill from there.
Yeah. And so here we are. The president has to declare an executive order on promoting free speech on college campuses. Do you think this has any impact on where parents will send their kids? What about that kind of an impact?
You know, I think it shouldn't yet, because there's still a lot of the devil's in the details. We're still working out the details, what that's going to look like. I know OMB is working with the 12 cabinet agencies to figure out what those consequences will be. And so we're still probably, you know, a year, 18 months off from real meat on the bones. And that being said, I mean, what the executive order said, frankly, on its face is very uncontroversial. It says public universities, which are state actors, have to uphold the First Amendment, and private universities have to keep their promises. What's controversial about that? And we've seen a lot of public university presidents say, you know what, we already uphold the First Amendment, this is fine. And I think, you know what, if you were, you wouldn't have faced all these lawsuits from Speech First, from Alliance Defending Freedom, from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. I mean, I feel like you can't go more than a couple of weeks without hearing about some new lawsuit that some students' rights have been violated. And so, you know, definitely there are problems now, and I think there will continue to be problems.
I agree with that, because, you know, you watch, I mean, good Lord, I just watched George Washington University. The students there are offended by the name the Colonials. And they voted to change the name of George Washington University, a place that you have to pay about $80,000 a year to attend, by the way. You're not drafted to go to George Washington. You actually have to apply, go through rigorous testing, and you know, score really well to get there. But apparently George Washington is too offensive for the students to even be able to focus on their studies. They need Plato, they need puppies, and they need the Colonials name to be changed immediately. Otherwise, they're just torn up.
You know, what kind of students does that produce? If you have students that need safe spaces, that demand accommodations, I mean, okay, so you've had like a very, you know, bubble wrapped 4 years. You're 22, you're 23, you go out into the wider world. What happens when you encounter some other term that hurts your feelings? I mean, this is not, I don't want to hire people like that. I don't want to work with people like that. And so, you know, college used to be the place where students, turned into, they learned how to become adults and how to function in a wider society. And to see that all these like silly rules have been put into place, it raises real concerns. And I think, you know, back to your original point about what does, you know, for parents making decisions about where they send their children to school, this is something that parents have to be so mindful of now. This is more than just,
well, you mentioned,
you know, what's
that,
in state, what's the tuition package, what's my scholarship.
It's sure.
A lot more factors.
You mentioned that parents used to send their kids to college to become adults, which is interesting, but a lot of people were more adult at the age of 16 or 17 by far than they are in their late 20s today. Kids are coddled. They're given ribbons for participating. They're not taught anything about winning and losing and earning your place and work ethic. All of these things are put to the side. Kids are living in their mom's basement until they're 26. They go out and they get degrees in gender studies and other such wasteful things and put themselves $100,000 in debt and then ask me to pay for it, expect that I should pony up to pay for that mess. And yet the Democrats would have you believe that somehow, despite all of the evidence to the contrary, it's a good idea to let 16-year-olds vote.
Right. And we should make college free. So.
Right. Let the 16-year-olds vote on free college. Good idea.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
No, it's definitely, it's mind-blowing. And so, yeah, it's a real concern. I mean, I work in free speech issues every day, and I feel like I look at my news clips and I think, well, that's another school I'm not going to send my kid to. I have a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. And, I mean, frankly, at this point, I would be comfortable with them going to trade school because they would learn real-world skills and they wouldn't be exposed to a lot of this indoctrination.
Well, yeah, it's exactly true. We've allowed the labor unions to educate our children for, you know, more than my lifetime. The labor unions have taken over the public schools, as you know. As a result, this is what we get. We get people that actually believe that socialism is somehow a great and wonderful thing and that rich people need to pay their fair share. But the, as I said many times, the threshold for rich gets lower and the demand gets higher for how much free stuff should be given to everyone. But as the president said here this week, the seduction of free stuff is hard to overcome. And the Democrats want to buy your votes in such a way. Let me ask you this. Is you got a 4- and a 5-year-old, will there be any colleges left? Maybe Hillsdale. Maybe Spring Arbor.
Yeah.
There'll be a couple of colleges left, but not many by the time it's over.
Right. It's a small number. And, you know, I talked to an economist or a psychologist from NYU, and he said he thinks there's a coming split in academia at some point. There is going to be Pursuit of Truth University, and there's going to be Social Justice University. But universities, really, they need to be very transparent about what kind of educational experience you're getting, because I think parents send their kids to some private schools expecting – you know, this is a religious school, these are our values, and they get there, and it's kind of a bait and switch, and so...
Well, even Christian universities, that, you know, yeah, Christian universities are not what they used to be. A lot of the Christian universities are taking down the symbols because they're offensive to the students. It's a Christian university, you came to a Christian university, oh, yeah, but we can't have pictures of Christ, because
exactly.
That'll offend somebody. At any rate, real quickly, I'll give you the last word.
No, I mean, it's definitely, as parents look to make those final decisions before May 1st, which is College Decision Day, I would say, do your research. I mean, you're sending your children your money for 4 years. This is not a cheap prospect. But you can really send your children to some real danger if there are places where free speech issues, where due process and Title IX issues are not properly adjudicated. So this is really incumbent on parents to make this decision and do their research.
Well, there you go. And I greatly appreciate you being here as always. Nikki Neely, president of Speech First, and we will defend the right of the freedom of speech as long as we're on this program, that's for sure. Nikki, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, still to come, we're going to continue our number one here, brought to you apart by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company, serving Michigan since 1947. Locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. Still to come, we're going to talk about Bill and Hillary coming to town. I mean, the gift that just keeps right on giving. Don't miss it. Straight ahead right here on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our communities secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life and in every corner of America, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. The Army National Guard reacts to domestic operations in each of America's 54 states and territories, including Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and the District of Columbia. Each state National Guard's unique domestic role is to act as the first line of defense in support of civil authorities in their state. The Guard's emergency responses include covered search and rescue missions for floods, combating wildfires, hurricane and tornado recovery, and the presidential inauguration. The Army National Guard. We are always ready. We are always there. And in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy.
Oh my God.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.